For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
We're talking this morning about John 15, abiding in the vine. And, you know, it was interesting. We got together as the elders, and we were trying to figure out what it is that we wanted to speak on. And we all had kind of, when we got together at the retreat, we were all kind of sharing basically what we felt like God was speaking to us to right now. You know, and in each of our lives, God has different issues or different areas where he's shining his light to get our attention, whether it's character issues with us or different aspects of his word. And it was kind of cool how it came together in the sense of, as we started talking about those things, it came together in such of a way where we realized that this upper room discourse sort of embodied all these different things that we had been individually hearing God's voice on. And those things were very different. I mean, there's a lot of different things through these passages that Jesus addresses. But they do all fit under this category of the advantage of the new covenant. And you see it here in the teaching of abiding in the vine, right here in John 15, 1 through 5, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." You see, this imagery of the vine was an old covenant imagery for Israel, the vineyard of Israel. And Israel never bore the fruit that God had intended and that God had wanted them to bear. And so when Jesus starts this out about talking about what it means to be in him, what it means to be a follower of hers, of his in the new covenant sense, he says, "I am the true vine." And in one fell swoop, he wipes out the imagery of the past and the oldness of the old covenant and says, "Now I am the true vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." So we're familiar with this teaching. You know, to come here and speak to you, you know, we could pull up the imagery of the vine, and we know how the sap goes up through the vine and into the branches, and the branches bear fruit. And, you know, with all the different things that we could draw from that, all the different aspects of this teaching that we've heard before. And so on the one hand, to come and speak to you about something that's so simple, that's so basic, and so much at the heart of what every new believer needs to learn is intimidating, because I know that you've heard it before. On the other hand, how are we doing with our abiding? Whether you're 10 years in the Lord or 30 years in the Lord, abiding is elusive for many of us. And the imagery here is very powerful. It's very poignant. We have the vine, which is the organism. It's the life. It's what it is. And the vine is what it is all about. The vine is Jesus Christ. The vine is the source of life to the branches. The branches have no significance without the vine. The branch is us, and the branch exists to serve the purposes of the vine. The branch has no life of its own, no real life. When the branch is cut away from the vine, its days are numbered. It has a very short ability to exist apart from the vine. It cannot thrive. It cannot grow. A branch cannot be what it was intended to be separate from the vine. And the branch is also the vine's chosen strategy for bearing fruit. The vine does not bear fruit on its own. It has the branch for that. And it's remarkable if you think about that. Because it is true that God's chosen method for bearing fruit is you and I. You have to question the sanity of that from time to time. When you look at how complicated we are, how messed up we are, how far short we fall of his glory and his goodness, surely he would be a better representative of himself But in his wisdom and in his power and his purposes, he chooses branches like you and I. And the entire purpose, the entire point, the entire heart of being a branch is to abide. Andrew Murray wrote in his book, The True Vine, the branch is a perfect likeness of the vine. The only difference is the one is great and strong and the source of strength, and the other little and feeble, ever needing and receiving strength. Even so, the believer is and is to be the perfect likeness of Christ. What a life would come to us if we only consented to be branches. Dear child of God, learn the lesson. And this is the lesson that we are hungry to learn, that we are desirous of learning. And if you're like me, it's the lesson that you're learning over and over and over and over again. We can never learn this lesson too many times. We are but branches. And the branch's purpose is to bear the fruit. And the fruit is just the natural outcome of an abiding branch. A branch that abides in the vine bears fruit. And that fruit is people coming to Christ, character development, service to the poor, God being glorified. But it's the vine accomplishing these purposes and this fruit through the branch. We're just a conduit for the power of God into the lives of the people of this world. And when we remember that, when we truly own that, when we understand that, fruit happens. But when we try to be the vine, we can bear no fruit because we've become disconnected from the source of life and the source of spiritual power. And so that connection between branch and vine is what John calls, or Jesus calls here, abiding. And this word abide in the Greek is meno. It means to dwell, to remain, to tarry. It means to live. You know, we abide. By abiding, you is simply where you live. We live in our homes. And we think about what it is to live or dwell. What does it mean to live in Christ? And I started thinking about this, and I thought, you know, how much effort do we put in living in our homes? You know? It's sort of an effortless thing, isn't it? You don't sit in your home trying to abide, right? You wake up in the morning, first thing in the morning, and you're like, abide! This is my home! But we do this with Christ. We see abiding as some great work, some great truth that needs to be pursued, that needs to be, you know, by the sweat of your brow, you abide. And it's not true. Now, with our homes, there may be preparation. We have to pay the mortgage or you won't be abiding there long, right? But paying the mortgage is not abiding. There's the general maintenance. You got to clean the gutters. You got to, you know, keep the upkeep of your home or eventually it'll fall apart. Some of us like to clean a little bit, you know, to keep the home in order. But none of those things are abiding. Those are things that create an environment conducive to abiding. But abiding is just living there. So how do we live in Christ? How does he live in us? And why is it so much harder to abide in Christ than it is in our homes? That's an interesting question. You abide in your home without even thinking of it. You abide in your home effortlessly by virtue of the fact that you live there. Why can't we abide in Christ like that? And speaking for myself, I think that I find it difficult to abide in Christ like I can abide in my home, because my home is mine. My home is subservient to me. It's my property. I can do with it what I want. I'm in control of it. And so I'm comfortable there because it's my house. I'm more comfortable nowhere on earth because it is my domain. I can do with it what I please. But I am Christ's. And the dynamic is completely different here, which must be why it's so difficult, why it's so painful, and why it feels like such a struggle, is because in order to abide by in Christ, by definition, I have to accept that I am not my own. My flesh hates this. My culture hates this. It kicks against and it thrashes against this idea that I would have any master or that I would belong to anything other than my own desires. And I think we find abiding to be difficult because it means and begins with remembering that we are not the point. Everything in our fallen nature, everything in our culture is lying to us and telling us that we are the point. But it's all about you, baby. Your life and who you are. You're a master of your own destiny. You can do and make and shape and bend your life into being whatever it is that you want. Because you're so significant and you're so powerful. And Christ comes in and says, you're a branch. I love you, but you're a branch. And that goes against the way I want to see myself. It goes against the way that I want to be, that I want to be like God, knowing good and evil for myself. It goes right back to the garden. I want to be God. And I want the credit for my successes. Someone else can take the credit for my failures, but I want the credit for my successes. To abide is to trust another for all of our needs. Well, our preconditioning has taught us that this is unacceptable. We've been burned by the people that are supposed to meet our needs. By the fact that we live in this world and that we have relationships, we have learned, and it has been proven to us again and again and again, that if you love somebody, they'll let you down. And so the concept of abiding, being depending on God for your very life, for the power to do anything of eternal consequences, is to depend on someone else who's not like the other people that we've depended on, but who we are reluctant to trust, who we are reluctant to trust with that much because it's everything. All that it is that we want to do, all that it is that we want to accomplish. And as we face the idea of abiding, we wrestle with the concept of, will my needs be met? Will I be safe? Will I be okay? Will I be significant? A branch doesn't seem all that significant. The vine, that looks like, I want that job. But it's a denial. It's a failure to understand the fundamental principles of what we were created to be. We're branches. Roy and Revel Hessen, in their book We Would See Jesus, put it this way: we are now in a position to consider the meaning of the word which the Lord Jesus used to describe our part in this life. He said, he abide in me and I in you. It has often been said, the secret is in the abiding, but that is not so. For it makes the secret to reside in something we do. And this could only lead to yet another form of striving, the striving to abide. The secret surely lies in the vine, and the blessing comes from our seeing him as such. And as we see him, before we know it, we are abiding. And so the abiding is a state in which we just submit to the power of God, to the authority of God in our lives. And the opposite of abiding is detaching. When we refuse to abide, then we are facing the world on our own power, as so many of us were taught to do. Stand up on your own two feet as a man and take what the world has to throw at you and conquer your environment. That's detached. That's to believe in yourself and to make yourself your own God and to take God's job, to face the world on your own terms with your own resources. And if you're like me, you learn this lesson over and over again because you strike out and you want to depend and you want to trust God, and then you see some success and you start believing in yourself and you slowly shut off the inflow of sap from the vine and try to bear fruit in your own power, which ultimately leads to failure, burnout, frustration, hopefully breaking, and hopefully a return of repentance back to the vine, where we find God waiting with fresh sap because all he ever wanted was for us to be his branch. So there's lots of things we could talk about here. There's lots of signs of detachment. We're on a limited schedule, so I picked one, which is really the area where God's been speaking to me the most in my life recently, which is in anxiety. My life has changed a lot over the last few years. You know, you guys know some of that story. You know, we came up to adult ministry. That was a very anxious time for me. Moving away from the college ministry, which had been my home for so many years, and trying to get involved in a different demographic, a different type of work. We were there for a while, and new groups joined us. And there were new problems to solve. There were new things to think about, new ways of approaching things. And, you know, there was a sense of newness and freshness to it that was exciting, because I found myself having to answer questions that I'd never considered before, which requires some innovation and some creativity, which excites me. But along with it came, you know, meeting a lot of different leaders who are more mature than I am, who have spent more time at this work and a lot more time in this field, and seeing how frustrated some of you are and how difficult, you know, it is to just continue to abide, and how we all, as Dennis has said from time to time, become fruit inspectors. Where we're looking at, you know, the fruit, and we're asking ourselves that question. This is at the heart of what many of us are facing, is we're looking at the fruit and we're saying, is it worth it? Is it worth it? And that's the wrong question. The question is, am I abiding? The vine will choose what kind of fruit to produce. I need to abide. It's not that the fruit's not important. It's not that the kind of fruit is not important. It's that the kind of fruit is not up to you. Faithfulness is the meaning in the heart of what it is that we're supposed to do. And as I have, you know, tried to take on these challenges and meet new leaders and face new challenges and talk about this issue of faithfulness, I've taken on a lot of responsibility unto myself. My sphere now has 700 members, 120 home church leaders, 30 home churches. And I found myself in recent months waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning with a lump in my throat and anxiety in my heart and fear. Most mornings now I wake up at 4:30 with fear in my heart. And that fear is of failure. I can't get back to sleep. And the thoughts and the scenarios run through my head, and it's always something where I fail you. I fail our church, I fail our God, I fail my wife and my family, and I somehow screw up this awesome opportunity that God has given me. And I feel this fear, and I wrestle with the Lord, and I say, you know, I don't want to be a failure in the eyes of this great church. I don't want to be a failure in the eyes of my wife and my children. And I don't know how to do this, God. I don't know how to succeed here. And there's so much that needs to be done. And there's so many ways that I can see what God wants to do with this church. And how we're going to move on to the next thing. And, you know, I start getting into this mindset of, it's my job to fix this and to be a part of the solution here. And what if I fail? What if I fail and Gordy and Tad can't leave because I'm disqualified from helping to lead their people? And God in his faithfulness comes in and says, you do realize this is not all about you, Ryan. And I'm shocked by that. What do you mean it's not all? You're a branch. I'm the vine. And it's my pride that makes me vulnerable to the attack that I'm receiving, because I want to be the vine and I want to believe that it all matters, because I want to take my significance from the fruit. And so I'm a flawed man, and God's got me right where he wants me. Every morning, waking up at 4:30, 5 o'clock with a lump in my throat, where I strive before the Lord until finally I realize I'm just a branch. And then I can sleep. And that's the answer. That's what abiding is. is letting go and coming to that place where you just realize it is not all about me. I'm a branch. God is in charge of this church. Xenos Christian Fellowship will be just fine without me, without any of us. God will do what he wants to do, and we can trust that he is sovereign and that he is in control and that it doesn't all rely on us for our part. And then we find the peace of Christ reigning in our hearts. We find God's rest. Because the anxiety and the fear that we face is really a result of trying to be a vine. So we can't really talk about how to abide, right? Because how do you abide? Well, how do you abide in your home? It's just a state of being. It's what you do. But we can talk about home maintenance. How do you pay your mortgage? How do you do the maintenance around the house? How do you create an environment conducive to abiding? But again, we've got to just pick one. I think this one, for me, I'm a prideful man. I'm an arrogant man. I want to succeed. And I struggle. I struggle to abide, you know, to feel as though I'm in my right place and that I understand where I am in the order of things. And the way that God has taught me again and again and brought me to this place of fear and inadequacy is by asking me to do far more than I could ever accomplish in my own strength. And I guess that's what I really want to share with you is I'm so grateful that I'm in over my head here. I'm so over my head. I don't know what God's going to do. But I know that I'm over my head, and I know that when I realize that and I connect with that, I finally understand what it means to abide. And my fear for some of you is that God is calling you over your heads, and your fear is stopping you from saying yes. It's terrifying where I am. Join me. Join me in being terrified and knowing that there is no way you could ever come through with what God is asking you to do, but the answer is yes. Because frankly, speaking only for myself, if I am not constantly aware of how inadequate I am to fill the shoes that God has called me to, I will not abide. I'll take control, and I will do in the flesh what I think should be done and what can be done until I burn out and I fail. So get in over your head, Xenos. That thing that God is calling you to do, whether it's a small thing like go and witness to your neighbor and you're terrified and you're like, I could never do that. Whether it's lead a home church, whether it's confront sin in your church, whether it's planting your group, teaching, whatever it is, you know that there are things that God is calling you to do that you know that you're completely inadequate to do, and let your answer be yes. Because one thing's for sure, whether you succeed or fail, you'll learn a lesson about abiding. And when we abide, it's peace. And it's so sweet. It's so sweet. The Hessians write, what a comfort to us when conscious of our weakness, to know he is the vine. But on the other hand, with that boldness and authority, does not this endue us as we move among needy, hungry men? I am his branch, a part of him whose resources are limitless, the blessings of these men around me. This then is the reason for our failure too. It is simply that we have been trying to be the vine, we have been trying to find a holiness and a love for others in ourselves and from ourselves, which Scripture never encourages us to expect to find there. If you're having trouble abiding, if you're like me, try radical risk-taking for the Lord. Try saying yes in all those areas where you feel him pulling on the heartstrings of your heart. And come on in and be terrified together with me. Because that is how I am and what the Lord is doing in my life to teach me to abide. Another thing to think about are the craziest stories in your life, the most radical stories, the most bizarre circumstances, the scariest spiritual choices that you've made don't have to be in the past. There is a bright future of terrifying choices for you. God has no limit to the terrifying choices that he wants for you to make.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.